I am excited to talk about my favorite subject, is what we're supposed to be talking about this month, and that's Jesus. I love talking about Jesus because the truth is that he is our everything. So my object this morning, my purpose, my intentions this morning is to help you, whatever you're focusing on, whatever you're looking at, whatever you're going through this morning, I want to shift your attention off of that up onto him, up on Jesus. Because, you know, that we used to sing that song that I quote so much, that turn your eyes upon Jesus, look forward to his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and face. We need to be looking at Jesus. When we look at him, all the things that are plaguing us, things that are going on, they grow strangely dim. So I get excited about talking about Jesus, because everything is through him, by him, for him. I'm just telling you, everything about who he is, that's what we're about. Amen? So let's pray this morning. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for everything that has gone on. We're joining in with what's already been happening. The host of heaven, churches have already been worshiping, and all of this, everything that we do, Lord, we just want to glorify you. And so that's what you are who we're talking about this morning. And I'm excited about who you are. You are who we were singing about. You're who we think about. And so I just thank you, Lord, that everything that we do, we want to bring you honor and glory and praise, Lord, because that's who you are. So I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to open it to 1 John chapter 5. And while you're turning there, I want to tell you, when I was a boy, you just continue to turn there, but when I was a boy, I would love to, in the summertime, I would spend time with my grandmother. Now, you guys call her grandmother, but in Arkansas, we call my grandma Big Mama. That's just what we called her. You can't get away with that. I even told Vanessa, I said, Vanessa, if we ever have grandkids, would you like for our kids to call? She goes, don't even think about it. Don't you even think about calling me Big Mama. You're going to have a big lip, a big fat lip. So that's what we called my grandmother. We called both of them on both sides. We called her Big Mama. And in the summertime, my father would work and my mother would work and they would leave me with her. And one of the things that we used to do is in the summertime, she had a garden in Buena Vista and we would pick purple whole peas. And we would sit in the living room and we would shell those peas. And I know I'm sounding all country, you know, but that's just what we would do. We'd shell purple whole peas in the den. And I'm telling you, I miss that. I'm saying that now because I do. I miss that. I think what's missing in America is we don't get to shell purple whole peas with grandmother anymore. I don't know. That's how I learned a lot of things, just shelling purple whole peas. But here's what I'm getting at. When we used to sit there in the den and we'd shell those peas. And right before General Hospital and Days of Our Lives would come on, right before those things would come on, my Big Mama would put on a cup of Sanka. You guys, I'm taking some of y'all way back. I'm taking some of your waves. You boomers, remember? You remember Sanka? Is it freeze-dried nastiness? She'd put on a cup of Sanka. Some of y'all shaking your head. I saw some of you shiver. It's like, ugh, some gross stuff. It was pretty bad. She put on a cup of Sanka, and right before this, and she would say, she goes, now when my stories come on, I want y'all to be quiet. You can't be in here talking noise while my stories is on. We'd be like, yes, Big Mama. And so we'd shell those peas. But I knew that was a period where I couldn't talk. But there also was a time that my favorite show would come on, and that would be Let's Make a Deal. I'd love to watch Let's Make a Deal because it came on before the stories. And I remember as a boy sitting there and thinking about those guys who had won those prizes. And they would sit there, and the announcer would say, you can keep what you have, what you've won, or you can find out what's behind door number two or door number three. And I remember sometimes they'd look at the door and they'd look at what they had, and they would sometimes it'd be something big like a car or a trip or more money or whatever, and sometimes it would be nothing. And that horn would come on, and they would be so let down. I just thinking that's awful. How could they be? How could you do that to them? I would think that as a little boy. And the reason why I'm telling you that is because sometimes I believe that we as believers, we get sometimes focused on not focused on what we already have, but we're always looking for what's behind door number two. And what's behind curtain number three. And the truth is because we're looking for something better. We're looking for something that's supposed to be better. And the truth is that we already have someone better, and his name is Jesus. We already have everything in him and what he has given us, and his Jesus. And so we get to looking behind curtain number three, but you've forgotten that he has rent the curtain in two so we can boldly come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy to find grace to help in time of need. So the reason why I'm talking about this, Jesus this morning, is because I want you to get your eyes off the curtain because it's torn in two. Get our eyes upon Jesus, who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the bright and morning star. And he is the one that we need to focus our attention on. That's my goal this morning. If you are at a place where you're just like, well, can't you talk about how I can get some help? He's your helper. Can't you talk about how I just need some friendship? Well, the Bible says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm telling you, so I want us to get our eyes focused upon who he is. Amen. So John chapter 5, here's what they're saying about John. I mean, about Jesus. It says, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by the water and the blood. This is testifies of him. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these all agree. They agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his son. See, the Father is about the Son. The Holy Spirit is about revealing the Son. That's what it's about. So he's telling us who it's about. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. One of the commentaries said that if you have the testimony of Jesus on the inside of you, then no one can take it from you. Isn't that good? Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he's not believed in the Son. And this is what it said. The testimony of God is born concerning his son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his son. Whoever has the son has life. Whoever does not have the son of God does not have life. See, this is what the Bible says about Jesus. This is what everything is testifying about who we're to believe in. We're not to believe in things, not to believe in the arm of the flesh, to believe in people, all these things. We believe in who Jesus is. What we're talking about this month is Jesus, the beloved Son and Savior, believing and trusting and putting our faith in who he is. This is what the Father said about Jesus in Matthew chapter 3 and 17. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Holy Spirit was there, descending like a dove. Jesus was there. The Father was there. So this is my beloved Son. He's saying this. And this is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, where he talks about, he said, and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He didn't preach anything else. What came out of his mouth, what came out of his teaching, what came out of his preaching when he was talking to whoever he was preaching to was, I know nothing. I don't want to know anything among you except for Jesus and him crucified. All the focus, all the attention, all the things needs to be focused upon who he is, Jesus. We're talking about Jesus and who he is. I want you to turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we'll start at verse 30. This is John's account. That's what Jesus is saying in verse 30. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Talking about the Father. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There's another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. He's talking about John the Baptist. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth, talking about Jesus. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light, but the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one who has sent. 39, you search the scriptures because you think in them that you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. He's saying, telling to them, these are Jews. He's saying, listen, you're searching the scriptures. You're looking to these scriptures so that you're trying to find eternal life. You're looking for eternal life because that's what you were taught to do, but you're missing the point. If you have a Message Bible that actually says this, the Message Bible says this, that you are missing the forest for the trees. I'm actually supposed to want to be looking for one thing, you're searching for one thing. But the truth is, the essence is that you need to be looking, and all the scriptures, everything about the scriptures, everything about what they talk about and what they bear witness of, they're talking about me, Jesus. Yeah. And if you're missing the point, well, you're trying to seek after other things, then you're going to be missing the point as well. See, a lot of times I believe that we search after things. We're searching after this and we're searching after that. And the truth is Jesus, like, I'm right here. He's like, well, Pastor Chris, I just need direction. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I just need freedom. Well, the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth is not a thing, but a person. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So it should say that you shall know Jesus, and Jesus will make you free. Some of you, it's like, well, I just need peace in my life. Well, he is the Prince of Peace. Amen. Well, I'm just telling you, I just need it. And I'm telling you what you need. I need a miracle. What you need is Jesus, and to focus your attention and your life upon who he is and what he has done already in your life. A lot of times we focus on those things, and God's like, I've already provided for you. I've already given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. I've already seated you in heavenly places. You already have the mind of Christ. You already have everything that you need to be who I've called you to be. You already have that, but we're always searching for more. How about being thankful that Jesus has done everything and given everything, and he's done everything for us so that we can have eternal life and be who he's called us to be? How about thanking God for who he is so that we can focus our attention upon who he is? I'm not scolding you this morning, but I'm saying I do the same thing sometimes. I know what it's like to stop off at Burger King before you get home to a real meal. I know what it's like to get off track and realize that Vanessa has cooked a meal, the real thing, and slaved over it. And I come home and I'm not as hungry as I should be. And she knows I stopped off to see my girl Wendy. She knows that I stopped off to see. Now, some of you are laughing, but the truth is you do the same thing, because God is like, I have the real thing. Jesus is like, I have the real thing for you, but you're looking for something else. Listen, everything about who I am and what I have created is about me, and you're missing the point. Don't miss the point. Don't miss the point, because that's who he is. All of our faith, all of our hope, all of our answers are in him. And so we're looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. This is what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Living, not alone, it's not my life anymore, but it's Christ that lives within me. Christ needs to be the center of our life. We used to sing a song when I was growing up, in him we move and live and breathe and have our being. A scripture, that's what the Bible says. That it's in him that we move, in him that we breathe and we have our being, because it's about who he is. And then when we focus on who he is, he tells us who we are. One of the biggest things that I learned when I came to this church was this. And Pastor Terry said this to me, and he still says it today, and that is, the biggest thing that you need to understand and you need to know is who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. If you're taking notes, you need to write that down. The biggest thing, and I'm telling you, I've never forgot it. The biggest thing you need to know in your life, and that you'll continue to know, it'll be a growing effect in your life, is who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. It's very important. Very important to know who you are in Christ. I got a letter from CJ the other day. Now, his handwriting is so bad that I had to type something. I'm not going to read the whole letter because it's three pages long, but I'm going to read a little bit of it. And yesterday was the day that he called, and I missed it because I was teaching. So he got to talk to Vanessa and his brother and sisters, but I was teaching. And so I got up and they go, CJ called. I'm like, well, thanks a lot. I missed talking to him. And then Vanessa's like, I'll get over it, you big baby. But anyway, so here's what he said. He said, hey family. He said, I'm sure you have questions about this hellhole. Actually, it's not that bad, but I call it that because it's so hot here. He's in San Antonio. At first, when I got off the bus, the first thing I thought was, can someone call me an Uber so I can go home? But after talking with my team members and learning a lot, I found this place to not be too discouraging. If you wake up in the morning and give it your all every day, the instructors see it and they take note of it. The first night was very hard and I was discouraged. So Jesus led me to take out my handy, good old, trusty, free indeed manual. And I read all the scriptures about who I am in Christ. And that I have the mind of Christ. And I've been better ever since. My drill instructors yell at me sometimes. And sometimes they correct me softly. And it gets real confusing. And I'm going to tell you the reason why it gets real confusing. Because his daddy did that to him. And one of the letters that he wrote, he said, sometimes they yell at me for doing what they told me to do. And I go, I did that. I was trying to get you ready, son. I was trying to get you ready for that. He goes, we do about 170 push-ups daily, which is fine, I guess. I miss you guys, and I miss hanging out with you. You guys really motivate me and keep me going. And when I get yelled at, I think of some funny story Dad told us, and it helps me. I have to go do laundry now. He's the laundry guy of the team. It's funny because he hated doing laundry when he was in our house. And now he has to do it. He said, tell Sojourn I said, what's up? That was one of the things that I really wanted to try to drill into our kids. And that is that you need to know who you are in Christ. When the battles come, when things get difficult, when times get hard, when the storms of life come, you are anchored in who Jesus is. You're not anchored to the world. You're not anchored to the things of this life, but you are anchored in Jesus. So when the storms of life come and the waves are beating up against your house and the winds are crashing and everything else is coming up against your house, you know in whom you have believed that you are able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day, because Jesus is the one that you're anchored to and you're keeping your eyes upon him. Peter could not get out of the boat if he did not keep his eyes upon Jesus. Some of you need to get out of the boat, and in doing so, you're going to have to keep your eyes upon the one who has called you out of the boat, and his name is Jesus. And he's the one that's going to keep you. Be anchored to who he is and what he's called you to. Because the Bible says that it rains upon the just and the unjust. It means that the boat storm, even the scriptures talk about both houses receiving the storm, but it was the house that was built upon the rock that stood. The rock is Jesus, because he is the stone that the builders rejected, and he is the one who build our faith, everything upon, building your house upon the rock, which is Christ, and being anchored to who he is. Amen? And so that's one of the things. And so we search, he's talking to the Jews, saying, you search in the scriptures, but they're talking about me. You searching for peace, well, that's me. The Bible says that the heavens display his handiwork, and the firmament talks about the heavens declare the glory of God and display his handiwork. Everything talks about him. Everything is by him, for him, through him. Everything is about Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, when we've made it about us. Can I just tell you this morning, newsflash, it is not about you. It is not about you, but we make it about us, don't we? I mean, I find myself, I'm telling you, I can be the biggest whiner that there ever is. I know how to do it. I'm talking about, I mean, I can do it. Vanessa is not a whiner. She does not put up with that. I mean, even when our kids were just whining, be like, "Can we?" She'd be like, "Say it with some bass in your voice. Can I have some cheese?" You know, they would cheat. Like, I don't put up with that. I don't put up with whining. So sometimes I'd be like, "Honey, I just don't know." She goes, "Out." She don't put up with that. Some of you need some people in your life that will help you to stand the test of time. And to be able to stand and be able to tell you, "Look, it's not about you." Or just somebody come to you and say, "Aren't you glad it's not about us?" Look at your neighbor and say, "Aren't you glad it's not about us?" Aren't you so excited that it's not about you? And when you make it about you, that it's not about you, you start navel gazing, looking at your navel. Look at this navel. It's so beautiful. By the way, I don't have one. It got shot off, seriously. Whenever I'm at camp, the kids go, "Oh my gosh! What happened to your navel?" I'm like, "Got blowed off." That Bob song, "I don't have a belly button." I don't. It just got blowed off. Just a spot there. It is, you know, just. Stop navel gazing. Stop looking at your own navel. Stop looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. He is the one that you're looking to. "I will look unto the hills, which cometh my help." Does my help come from the hills? No, the maker of heaven and earth. That's where my help comes from. I can put my faith, I can put my hope in who he is. Amen? Here's what the Bible, this is what I love. Some of you have heard this. You can search the scripture, but you can find him. In Genesis, Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. Leviticus, he's our great high priest. In Numbers, he's a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he is our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Ezra, he's our rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, he's our Mordecai. In Job, he is our ever living redeemer. In Psalms, he is our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he's our wisdom. In the Song of Solomon, he is our loving bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the prince of peace. In Jeremiah, he's the righteous branch. In Lamentations, he's our weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's our wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. In Hosea, he's a faithful husband, forever married to the backslider. And Joel, he is a baptizer with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's mighty to save. In Jonah, he's our great foreign missionary. In Micah, he's a messenger of the beautiful feet. In Nahum, he's the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he's God's evangelist crying, "Revive thy work in the midst of the years." In Zephaniah, he's our savior. In Haggai, he's a restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, he's the fountain opened up in the house of David for sin and uncleanliness. In Malachi, he's the son of righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. In Matthew, he's the king of the Jews. In Mark, he's the servant. In Luke, he's the son of man, feeling what you feel. In John, he's the son of God. In Acts, he's the savior of the world. In Romans, he's the righteousness of God. In Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, he's the rock that followed Israel. In 2 Corinthians, he's the triumphant one, given victory. In Galatians, he's your liberty and he sets you free. In Ephesians, he's the head of the church. In Philippians, he's your joy. In Colossians, he's your completeness. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is your hope. And in 1 Timothy, he's your faith. In 2 Timothy, he's your stability. In Philemon, he's your benefactor. In Titus, he is truth. In Hebrews, he's your perfection. In James, he is the power behind your faith. In 1 Peter, he is your example. In 2 Peter, he is your purity. In 1 John, he is your life. In 2 John, he is your pattern. In 3 John, he's your motivation. In Jude, he's the foundation of your faith. In Revelations, he's your coming king. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the bright and morning star. He's the first and the last. I'm telling you, he is the reigning champion. We don't just sing about him. The schools can't explain him. Oprah can't find out what he's about. But our God is alive and well, and he has all power. He has all authority. He has all reigning power, and he giveth us the King of kings and the Lord of lords. All All hail King Jesus, the Lord of Lords. All hail King Jesus. All hail the reigning champion, the champion of our lives, King of kings and Lord of lords. Come on, give him praise this morning. Praise to the King. Praise to the one. Praise to the one, the King of kings and Lord of lords. His name is Jesus. There is power in his name. Power in his name. Power in his name. The anointing of the power of the Son of God, the reigning King. Jesus, the Son of God. The grave couldn't hold him. The Pharisees couldn't stop him. But he is alive forevermore. Reigning King and champion. Our champion. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Some of you are going through some things this morning. I'm telling you, there is power in his name to break whatever that is keeping you bound. Because he is the King. His name is Jesus. And when we get to a place where we're looking at anything other than him, shift your gears and turn your gaze upon who he is. Because he is the King. You search the scriptures because you think in them that you found eternal life. But they all speak of who he is. And there's power in this room right now. Stand with me. Stand with me. There's power in this room right now. Won't you just, would you, if you're a guest or you're watching on the screen, would you just turn your gaze upon him? Get a picture of him in your mind. In your mind's eye right now of who he is. Some of you, you need that peace. You need him to be the champion. He is the champion. We don't make him champion, he is the champion. We don't make him Lord, he is Lord. We don't make him king, he is king. He already is king, he's already ruling. He already has all power and all authority. He already has what you need. So Lord, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that we could focus our attention, our eyes upon who you are. Right now, God, right now. And Lord, forgive us when we focused on anything else other than you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, break every chain right now of bondage and addiction right now in Jesus' name. Depression, you got to go right now in Jesus' name. Oppression, somebody that's been oppressed, that's got to go right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Somebody that's dealing with pain right now on your right side, who is that? Somebody's dealing with pain right now. Just raise your hand. I feel like the Lord's saying it right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the one who heals in Jesus' name. Somebody who's dealing with migraine headaches, who is that? Somebody's just constant. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. You are the champion, King of kings. He's in the room, folks. He's in the room. He's in the room. He said, where there are two or three gathered, there he is in the midst. So we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And we love you and bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.